Today's daf is Nida daf Yud Zayin. We left off in daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We were going through the different things. I think we had a machlokas. Last thing we had was a machlokas in terms of why it is that it's also the adam yisheisham mishmitasa beyom, that it's also to have tashmish hamita during the day, whether the drasha was based on the idea that it's not a time to become pregnant, that was Rabbi Yochanan, or it's like Reish Lakish said, that it's just boza derach of yamus, that it's considered to be beneath a person's dignity to be mishamish mitasa beyom. We pointed out various nafkaminas, but the Gemara was trying to figure out why each one doesn't say like the other. And the Gemara said that what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? So what does Rabbi Yochanan do? What does Reish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? Well, he uses that to teach me the general concept of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, that a person generally does not have the right to choose anything about himself other than his Yira Shemayim, other than how much he's going to be Oved Hashem Yisparach, and that's pretty much it. Tosfos, of course, any time it says Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, points out that there is a Gemara in Ksuvus that says Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz, and it says something else. It doesn't say Yir Shemayim, it says Chutz Mitzinim Upachim, from protecting yourself from the elements. That's not Bidei Shemayim. That you have the right, you have the ability to put on extra clothing, extra layers to protect yourself from the cold. So says Tosos, it's not a problem because Hachairi Betoldos Adam Ubimidosov. It's a different context. Over here, we're not talking about various things that might happen to you. We're talking about what you're like, what your nature is, what you're about. Over there, we're talking about that which will happen to you. That's the Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Those are different. It's a different, a completely different context. And over there, we're saying that everything is Bidei Shemayim, meaning that Ein Odom Nokei Fetzbo Milmata Alam Ke Nigzor Lav Milamala. The Gemara Chulin says that a person, nothing happens to a person until there is a gzera from a Kadosh Baruch Hu from above. So Fractosos, second to last skinny line, Mim Tomar Vachiskiya Chazadavule Bani Delomalu. So, but wait a second, didn't Chiskiya get a vision that he was going to have children who weren't good, and that's why he didn't want to have children? So wait a second, I thought they have the choice to be Yirei Shemayim or not to be Yirei Shemayim. So Tos says, V'yishlomer deher'eu masha asadiyos. They did have a choice, but they showed him what choice they were going to make. He saw into the future, which again is difficult to understand if you think about it too much. What does it mean? If he saw into the future and that was definitely destined to happen, so what does that mean that they had a choice exactly? Shabbos, a lot of things are tali b'mazel. Tos gives a bunch of answers. I don't really fully understand any of the answers, but okay, but that was the issue with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Then the Gemara goes on to say, so what does Rabbi Yochanan do with Reish Lakish's pasuk? So he says, he uses it for what it says in Sefer Ben Sira, that there are three things Hashem hates and a fourth thing he doesn't like, and those three things were, number one, the Talmud Chacham who acts inappropriately, whether it's that he's always hanging out in the bars, or that he talks too much, or that he gets angry too quickly. Number two, someone who sets up Talmidim to learn b'merome keres in a very high place, in a public place, where it's not going to be good, they're going to become balegaiva. And number three, va'ochez ba'amo umashtin ba'mayim, someone who urinates holding his aver. Number four, va'nichnas lebeis chavero pitom, someone who goes into his friend's house very suddenly, and Rabbi Yochanan says not only his friend's house very suddenly, even if he goes into his own house very suddenly. Someone emailed me yesterday asking if there's any heter for that, meaning to go into your own house without knocking. Some of people do that all the time. You have keys or whatever, you just go into the house and you don't knock. It sounds from the Gemara that you're not supposed to go in suddenly. So I don't recall where I saw it, but I think I saw somewhere that the issue is where you're going to go somewhere where a person assumes that they have privacy. Meaning if you're going to go and walk into a bathroom or something, you walk into a bedroom very suddenly where a person is assuming that they have privacy. It used to be that their houses were one room, so there may have been an assumed culture of privacy that you have to knock before you come in because you don't know the person could be doing anything in that one room. But maybe in the living room, a dining room, you know, you walk into the main entranceway of the house and you live there, so maybe there's no such chiyuv. I don't remember where I saw that, but and maybe that's the tzad lekula over here. It's also interesting that the Gemara quotes Sefer Ben Sira. The Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin and Daf Kufam and Beis and Perichelek quotes the Mishnah that it's asr to read Sfar Machitzonim, and Rav Yosef says it's asr likros b'Sefer Ben Sira. As an example of Sfar Machitzonim, you're not allowed to read Sefer Ben Sira. So the Rif and the Rush say because Sefer Ben Sira is like the Sifrei Minim. It has Dvarim Shel Hevel. It has nonsense. It has things that are up because of the border and up because of maybe. Whatever it is, it's like the Sfarim Shel Minim. So the Yad Ramah says that even though it doesn't have things that will bring a person to the Kfira, he says if you look through Sefer Ben Sira, there is no up because or anything close to it. But since there are things that will lead you to Bittul and to not rely completely on Hashem, so you shouldn't read Sefer Ben Sira. So it's strongly discouraged. Yet Chazal quote Sefer Ben Sira. So what's going on? How are Chazal quoting Sefer Ben Sira if they themselves hold you not allowed to read Sefer Ben Sira? So you could say it's a machlokas. The Ritva in Maseches Babasra of Tzadiches and Beis writes that the Gemara calls Sefer Ben Sira Sfarim Chitzonim, but they didn't really asr reading it unless you're reading it Bederach Keva. You shouldn't have a morning Seder in Iyun, an afternoon Seder in Bekiyas, and a night Seder in Sefer Ben Sira. Person shouldn't read Sefer Ben Sira b'derech keva, but it's okay be'itim misuyamim from time to time to take a look at Sefer Ben Sira and to glean some of the wisdom of Sefer Ben Sira. So that's how the Ritva explains why it was okay for Chazal to quote Sefer Ben Sira. Okay, picking up again now from two lines from the bottom on Tesayin and Beis. Amar Bishim Ben Yochai, Arbodvar Makarosh Baruch Hu Son Vani Eini Ovan. There are four things that Makarosh Baruch Hu hates, and I don't love them either. Number one, someone enters his own house, and obviously, therefore, your friend's house, very suddenly, without knocking first. Number two, someone who holds his aver while he's urinating. Number three, a person who urinates naked in front of his bed. And number four, someone who does tashmashamita in front of any living creature. So just the very statement that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai makes, that there are four things Hashem hates and I don't love. So the Achronim have difficulty with this. What do you mean? If Hashem hates them, shouldn't we hate them too? So the Marsha writes, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai was adding to Ben Sira to say that these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, since they're divrei pritzos, ani eini oavan, but I don't hate them either, because it could be that they're not divrei pritzos, and then I'm going to be in violation of losisnas achicha b'vavecha. Since I'm a supak as to in each situation whether the person is violating different pritzos or not, and if on al-atzad that he's not violating that he's not violating Divrei Pritzos, I'm afraid I'm going to be in violation of the Sisnas Achicha B'Levechos. The Aruch Liner doesn't like this Pshat and Marsha at all, and he says that things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, it's Mutal L'Bnei Adam L'Sanosam. We don't have to start Cheshbening. Is it a violation of the Sisnas Achicha B'Levecha? And also, we're not talking about people, we're talking about things. I don't like the fact that there is such a custom, that there is such a... We're not talking about individuals. So these actions, you're allowed to hate the actions, you're allowed to hate the sin, you're just not allowed to hate the sinner. Why is it a violation of the sisnas of chicha b'vecha in order to hate the sin? So that's what the Aruch Liner doesn't like the pshat of the Marsha. Now, mashtim mayim arum lefnei mitasa, Tosa says that the reason it's aser is because it's gorim la'anius. There's a gemara like that in Masech Shabbos, of Samach Beis, Amid Beis, and Rashi of there in Shabbos writes that Mashu Mayim Lefnei Mitaso is a Dover Ma'us, and the Sar Shalanius is Ohev Mako Ma'us. Whatever the Malach that's Mamun Al Anius, that's in charge of Anius, loves and is attracted to disgusting places. So people who aren't neat, who aren't clean, who keep a messy house. So that's Sar Shalanius is attracted to that. A person is supposed to try to be neat and clean. So the Rashi also says that when it says Arum, it's Lav Dafka, but since he's Arum, he's not going to be Yotzei L'chutz L'Hashtin. It's going to be a Tircha to get dressed and go out to be Mashin. So it's not an issue of being Arum when he's being Mashin. The issue is that it's Lefnei Mitasa, that he's, what kind of house is he keeping? What kind of messed up house is he keeping where he's able to urinate in the house before the days of indoor plumbing? Okay, and then we had Mishamish Mitasa B'Fnei Kol Chai. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim about what if you have an infant? So is that considered Mishamish Mitaso B'fnei Kol Chai? Is that a violation? So the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh, Shara Prisha, Simin Beis, says that it's mutzav to be Mishamish in front of a tinok she'inu yoldei ledaber, if he doesn't yet know how to speak. And that's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Mem, or Chaim Simin Reish Mem, Siv Vav. The Olas Tavin points out that the reason is, since he's in yoldei ledaber, he has a din like being Mishamish Mitaso B'fnei Behema, which we'll see soon in the Gemara. But if he's a gadol who's a niyodei ledaber, he's an ilam or whatever, so that's what some of the achronim say, that maybe in front of him it would be usher to be mishamesh mitaso. All of that is mitzad adin, but the Olas Tamid points out, mitas chasidus, we're going to see soon in the Gemara, is not to be mishamesh mita in front of any living creature, but mitzad adin, a person is able to be mishamesh mitaso in front of even though there is a baby in the room. So let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So says in Maramle Ravidu L'Shmuel, Vafilu Fnei Achbarim, in Allah be Mishamish Mitasal Fnei Kol Chai, even mice, even rodents that happen to be around the room, Amle Shinna, Lo, Ela Kagon Shal Beis Poni, Shem Mishamish Mitil Seim, Bifnei Avdeim, Vishiv Choseim. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what they do in the house of so and so, Beis Ploni, very interesting that the Gemara says Beis Ploni, the house of so and so, where they are Noik Taftash Mishamita, right in front of their Avadim and their Shvachos. So that's completely inappropriate. That's what I was talking about. So says Tosos, "Mayri belayla b'makom afal b'makom ora afilu below l'fnei avdei amaser." It has to be that we're talking about in a dark place, because we're going to see later on, and we saw a little bit yesterday. You know, let it be mishamish mitaso bayom, or we're going to see soon in a place that's light. So it must be that we're talking about in the dark. But even in the dark, b'fnei avadim mishuv chosehem was inappropriate. The fact that they'd be Mishamish Mitasam in front of their servants. So the Inu my Darish. So what was their excuse? What was their drasha that they thought? Ploni apparently was a Talmud Chacham. So what was his excuse? Why did he think it was okay? So Shavulachem Poem Achamar Ama Doma Lachamar. He held that the Shvachos and the Avadim, based on the pasuk, have a din of a Chamar, that they have the same din like a donkey, and therefore it was okay to be Mishamish Mitaso in front of them. Rabba Barafuna Mekarkesh Zagi Dekilsa. Rabba Barafuna, when he wanted to be Mishamish Mita, Rashi says, he would ring bells around his bed, so that everyone will know to leave. So everyone will know that, you know, it's like the equivalent of the privacy sign outside of the hotel room, whatever. Everyone will know, I don't want any company, everyone should stay away when you ring these bells. Says Tosos, what? Every time he wanted to be Mishamish Mita, he'd ring a bell to announce that he's going to be Mishamish Mita and that people should leave? What kind of tzinius is that? Pirush HaKunjus Tosos quotes, Pa'amonu Matulim Bekila Lahotzi Menu B'nei Beso V'kashal Rabbeinu Tam Deinze Midas Tzinius. That's not sneeze at all. Vinirlo kigirsas rach va aruch mekarkish gazi zvuvim damru bebucharos dvasha gazi matzirin vavidum yud abayi debali didvi v'rova debali pruchi. No, it doesn't mean bells. Mekarkish zagi means he would shake off the bugs. He would shake off whatever bed bugs there were in his bed before his mishamish mita, because he didn't want to be mishamish mita b'fnei kol chai, even little tiny insects, even little tiny bugs. But it can't be that he would ring a bell to let everyone know when he's going to be mishamish mita. In fact, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch like this. The Rama writes that a person is not supposed to tell people when the Leil Tevila is. Why are you not allowed to tell someone when the Leil Tevila is? Because is it also for other people to know when a woman is a Nida? No, it's not also for other people to know when a woman is a Nida or not a Nida. It's fine to not practice harchakos in front of other people. That's not, you don't, it doesn't matter. People, in the times of Chazal, people used to wear big day Nidos. A woman used to wear special begadim to declare that she was a nida, and when she wasn't wearing those begadim, you knew she wasn't a nida. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Leil Tevila is a Leil Ona. There's a mitzvah Ona on the Leil Tevila. So that's the one night that if you tell people that that it's a Leil Tevila, everyone's going to know that there's Tash B'Shamita, and that's not Midarke Atznius. That's not it's not an appropriate thing. So that's what Tos is referring to over here, that it's just not Derech Atznius to let people know, even though everybody knows that a healthy married couple obviously has relations. It's completely not midarkei tzniyus to let people know when that's going on. So that's Tosfos. Tosfos can't imagine that that's what happened. So what's the yishu for Rashi? So maybe you have to say for Rashi that when he rang these bells, that was his simon that he wanted privacy. He didn't say why he wanted privacy. Sometimes he wanted privacy maybe because he just needed some peace and quiet, and sometimes he wanted privacy to think, and sometimes sometimes wanted privacy to learn or to write or to whatever. He wanted privacy all the time, maybe for different things. So for one of them was Mishamish Mitasa, but people didn't know what was what. They just knew that the bells were a sign that he didn't want to be bothered. Again, like the hotel do not disturb sign. It could be for anything. So Abaye Bali Didvi. Abaye, when he would be Mishamish Mita, he would shake off all the gnats from the bed. Megarish has vuvim, Rashi says, all the flies. Rava Bali Pruchi. Also the Yatushim, that's the gnats. One is the bugs, one is the creepy crawlies, one is the flying gnats, whatever it is, they would get rid of all the little bugs. There are five things that if a person does, he's mischayev benafsho and his blood is on his own head. Someone who eats peeled garlic or peeled onion or peeled egg, someone who drinks diluted liquid that went through the night, meaning and many of the Rishonim understand Avra Alein Alayla is going on all of them. The Avra Alein Alayla is that obviously you're not going to eat an unpeeled onion or an unpeeled egg. No, Avra, it means an unpeeled egg, Shavra Alein Alayla, that was unpeeled overnight. Valan Bebeis HaKvaros. Number two is someone who sleeps in the Beis HaKvaros. Number three, Valnotzotzi, part of his Zarkal Rosh Hashanah, someone who takes his fingernails and throws him into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And number four, Vamakizdam Umeshamish Mitaso. Someone who's Makizdam and is Meshamish Mitaso. There's one more thing. I have this, just bought this sefer in the store the other day, Chashuki Chemer of Zilberstein on Mesechus Nida. All the interesting shaylas he gets in Mesechus Nida. So he said that he had a shayla of a prisoner. There was a person who was in prison and he was allowed conjugal visits with his wife, but there had to be a guard in the room at all times. I don't know, it wasn't in this country, I would imagine, but there had to be a guard in the room at all times. So is it permissible for him to be Mishamish Mitaso to be Makom, the mitzvah of Puravu? So he just, it's interesting because he quotes a very interesting tshuva, the Shvus Yaakov, famous tshuva, Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Aleph Siman Dalet. Shvus Yaakov was asked if you have Siamese twins, what the halach is. Apparently in the 1700s or whatever it was, there were Siamese twins born, and it was big news. And so someone asked Shvus Yaakov, had they been Jewish, what would their various halachos have been? What would the halachos have been? So one of the things Shvus Yaakov says is that they wouldn't be allowed to get married because for a couple of reasons. But one of them is because also the shamish b'fnei kol chai, that they're not allowed to have shamit in front of other people. So for Siamese twins, two heads was the case, one body, two heads. So they're being mishamish in front of another person. So it's also to do that. So apparently, according to Shvus Yaakov, even when you're anus and you have no other options, still it would be asur. Zilberstein says he doesn't think so. He thought that maybe makom anus, where you have no other options, maybe in that situation it would be permissible. He's also asked, what if in the prison room with the conjugal visits, what if there's a security camera? So is that called being mishamish b'fnei kol chai? He didn't think so. He thought mishamish b'fnei kol chai means that there's actually somebody there. Okay, but anyway, so the Gemara gives all these other things that are asur. So now we're going to go through them one by one. So first, eating the peeled onions, garlic, eggs that were left overnight. Even if they're in a basket, and they're completely sealed, still it's also to eat them. Ruach ra shor alein, the ruach ra still has the ability to attack them. That's only if you don't leave the shell or the root of it together with the garlic, onion, or egg. But if you leave the root or the peel together with it, then it's okay. Someone told me that Rav Chizkiya Nevensal said his father, Rav Vigdor Nevensal, when he won't eat egg salad unless there's a little bit of the shell still stuck in the side of the egg salad from the day before, even if it's sealed, even if it's based on the Gemara. In general, throughout the past couple of hundred years, we have records of various poskim taking two very different directions in the approach to the Gemara. First of all, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rush don't quote this as halacha at all. Even though there's a siman, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. Even though there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about dvarim asurim mishum sakana, they don't quote anything about peeled garlic, onions, and eggs being left out overnight. Yet there are many poskim, Kav Chaim, there are Chashulchan, others that are makbid about it. It says in the Gemara, Mehechi Tesi, that we're not going to paskin what it says in the Gemara. So, at a yom, you have poskim that hold different things. Different communities have different minhagim. when it comes to this. Okay, Vashosa Mashkin Nazugin Shavarlein Alayla, someone who drinks a diluted liquid that was left out overnight. Amr Rabbi Domer Shmuel Vushalanu B'Klei Matchos. That's if it was left over in metal kelim. Amr Papa B'Klei Neser Klei Matchos Dami. Klei Neser have the same din as Klei Matchos. V'Chein Amr Rabbi Yochanan Vushalanu B'Klei Matchos Klei Neser Klei Matchos Dami. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. V'Alan Beis Hakvaros. Someone who sleeps in the Beis Hakvaros Kedei Shetishra Lav Ruach Tuma. If a person sleeping there so that a Ruach Tuma can get close to a Ruach Tuma, that's no good. Zimnin D'Mesaknin, because it could become dangerous for him. So the Marsha says, wait a second, forget about that, it could become dangerous for him. And the Ruach Tuma, Gemara Sanhedrin Samachem Beis, quotes a darshan from Psukim that there's an Issadar Raisa to be Dori Shalamesim. So what are you doing? Lon Beis Akvaros sounds like you're being Dori Shalamesim. It sounds like a violation of Issadar Raisa. So you have bigger problems anyway. So the Marsha is Miyashiv, based on the Beis Yosef, that the Issadar is only when you starve yourself or you do some sort of Maisa to bring the Mesim to you. But if you don't do anything, you just happen to sleep in the Beis Akvaros, then it would not be a problem. Marsha points out there's a Gemara in Mesachas Brachas and Daf Yud Chesam and Beis, where the Gemara tells us the story of a Chassid Echa that was Lan B'Beis HaKvaros, and he heard the Ruchos speaking to each other, and he gleaned some critical information from the conversations that he heard from the spirits in the Beis HaKvaros. So he was a Chassid Echa, how was he allowed to violate this and sleep in the Beis HaKvaros? So Beis Yosef writes that the Yisr Lidrosh Alamesim is only when you do some sort of Maisa, like we said before, you starve yourself or something like that. Beis Yosef also quotes from the Gos Maimonios that it's only Asr when you Doresh Lugufo Shalames, but not when you Doresh Lerucho Shalmes. I'm not sure what that means. Yeah, it's only Asr when you want the guf to come back, the physical body to come back, or you're speaking to the physical bodies that are buried underground, but not when you're speaking to the spirits. It's hard to understand. But anyway, that's how the Beis Yosef writes. Also, the Beis Yosef says the Chassid Echad ended up in the Beis HaKvaros because he had nowhere else to go. His wife threw him out of the house. That's the whole story over there. It wasn't because he wanted a dafka to go to the Beis HaKvaros to be Dorish Alameisim. Fine. Vanotzitzi, part of his Zarkon Rosh Hashanah. Someone who takes his cuts fingernails and throws his fingernails in Rosh Hashanah also is dumb of Barosho. Why? Because a pregnant woman could pass over them, could walk over them, and that's assumed to be a sakana for a miscarriage. V'lo'amrenel the shakal b'ganusteri, but that's only if they were cut off using a nail clip or a scissors, but if you bite your nails or whatever, then it's not going to be a problem. It's also only a problem if you cut your fingernails and your toenails at the same time. It's also only if nothing else was shorn off after it. But if it's gaz midi basrayu, then it's not going to be a problem. So you have all of these exceptions to the rule of when it's not going to be a problem to leave your fingernails on the floor. No, it's dumb of Barosha. You have your own meaning, because you're putting somebody in sakana, so you're violating this terrible thing. So that's why we don't like it at all, and we consider that right. The dumb of Barosha is not that it's also mishum sakana to yourself. It means that because you're being misakin other people is dumb of Barosha. You're responsible for. Yeah, I hear that. That's a good kasha. So says Gemara Velohi, Lukula Milsa Cheshina. None of these heterim are really heterim. We're always choshesh. You should never throw your fingernails out. Tan Rabban Gimel Devarim Nemu Tzipranayim. There are three things it says about fingernails. Sarfon Chassid, Kovron Tzadik, Zorkon Rasha. If you burn them, you're a Chassid. That's the best of the best. Why would you be called a Chassid? Some of the Rishonim, right, the Achronim rather, the Aruch Lener, the Chacham Spitzalel, that it's a risk to a person to burn them. That Tosa says that the reason Sarfon is chassid is because he's doing more than the chiyuv, because to be cover them, they still may become exposed. But if you burn them, they're going to be gone forever. So Tosa quotes from the Aruch that burning tziporen is mazik la'adam. So that's why he's called the chassid. He's going way lefnim yishuras adin, and he's risking something. It could be mazik him to burn fingernails. Nevertheless, someone who does it is a chassid. But all that's required of you to be a tzaddik, to do the right thing, is to be kovran, is to bury them. It's not necessary to be sarfan. Right? That's the difference between flushing them down the toilet or throwing them in the garbage. You flush them down the toilet, chassid. You throw them in the garbage, tzaddik. That's the din by fingernails. So the The Gemara in Masechet Moed Katan discusses this a little bit further in Daf Yud Ches, and the Gemara says that Tziparnayim are only mazik in the place where they fall, but if they've been moved from the place where they originally fell, then it's not going to be a hezek anymore. And that's what the Gemara says. One of the Amorayim would cut his fingernails in the Beis Medrash, and they said, how are you allowed to do that? He said, because no women come into the Beis Medrash, no pregnant women come to the Beis Medrash. We sweep out the Beis Medrash and we'll end up outside of the Beis Medrash. Yeah, but that's no problem. That's not the place where they fell. There is a machlok between the Prisha and the Elia Rabba, where the Prisha writes that if they fall in a certain spot, if you move them from the spot, from that spot, even in the same room, it's not going to be a problem anymore. Whereas Ali Rabbah thinks that no, it has to be moved out of the room in order to lose its ability to be mazik. But people are makbid about this still, that we should not leave our fingernails lying around. Rav Zilberstein discusses how far does a person have to go? Meaning, let's say a fingernail fell and you can't find it anywhere. Do you have to be mvatel kriyashma tzila b'tzibur in order to find the fingernail? So he thought, he didn't think it was such a so serious. And he says that in Maisa Ish, it says that they heard from the Chazon Ish that in our generation, the Hester Panim is so great that it could be that it's not a sakana anymore for women to walk on fingernails. Not sure what that means, but the Hester Panim is so great that it's not a sakana anymore. But he says that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought you do have to be mivatel kriyashma tefila b'tzibur to find every last fingernail, that it's still such a major sakana. Okay? So it says the Gemara Vayter, v'amekes da mishamish mitasam. Someone who does bloodletting and then has tashra mita. Damar makes that mishamish mitasam, having no banim v'sakin. He's going to have weak children. He kizu shneim v'shimshu having no banim b'alei ra'asan. If both of them have Hakazdam and then have Tashmishamita, then they're going to have extremely weak children that have some sort of sheretz in their brain, like the Gemara has the story in Maseches Ksuvos. Amar Ravlo, Amar El Dolotoy Midi, Avol Toy Midi Leslanba. That's only if you didn't eat anything. But if you ate something before you were Makazdam, then it's not a problem. Amar Rav Chisa Asul, Allah Dem Shri Shamishmita Sviyom, person's not allowed to have Tashmishamita during the day. Shenemar, Viahaftal Recha Kamocha, because the Pasuk says, Viahaftal Recha Kamocha. It's very interesting to note the different places where Chazal darshan via haftal reyacha kamocha, having tashmish amita during the day, killing a woman with her clothing on, you're not allowed to do because or without her clothing on because it's a bizayunter. The haftal reyacha kamocha barlo misa yafa, you always have to choose the best death for a person. Is it din via haftal reyacha kamocha that you have to see your wife before you marry her via haftal reyacha kamocha? Very, very interesting that all these different places where the haftal reyacha kamocha is brought up. So my mashma, how does V'Avtal Reach Kamocha imply that you're not allowed to be Misham Shmitasa during the day? Am Rabbi, Shemir, Badavar Maguna, Vitis Ganalav. Because we're afraid if you see too much, then you're going to see some sort of imperfection, and it will be a turnoff, and you're not going to be, and you're going to lose a little of the sense of love during Tashma Shemita. So Rav Huna says Jews are kadosh and therefore they don't do tashmish shemitah during the day. Amar Rava, v'imhaya bayis afel mutter. But if the house has room darkness, trisim, right, like they have in Israel, then it's going to be mutter. Then you're going to be allowed to be mishamish mitasu b'yom because then you'll be able to create an atmosphere of darkness. V'talmud chacham afel b'ksuso mishamish, and Talmud chacham could use his clothing, his cover, to make it dark and have tashmish under the covers. The Rashi writes Talmud Chacham Tsenua, he's not going to be Yavel Istakel, he's not going to come to be Mistakel. Whereas the Rambam writes Talmud Chacham is not going to be Yavel Himashich Bakach, to make a habit out of this of being Mishamish Mitaso Beyom. But the Rambam says only the Tzorach Gadol, and it's Derech Kedusha to be Mishamish Davka Be'emtza Alayla. But when it's a Tzorach Gadol, the Talmud Chacham be Mishamish Beyom. So Magen Avraham writes, what does it mean Tzorach Gadol? Magen Avraham Narachaim Sim Reish Mem. Kan Chavav says when it's Yitzro Meskaber Alav, when he feels that his Yitzro Hara is really getting the best of him. But the best time is night, when it's quiet, when there are no distractions, and when it's dark. So says the Gemara, is it really true that you're not allowed to be Meshamish Mitasu in the light? Tanan, O Teshamish Lor in there. Doesn't our Mishnah say Teshamish Lor in there? Say Ema Tivdok Lor in there. No, what the Mishnah means to say is that you if you can use one B'dika cloth for every Tashmish, so Meshamish Shita is, you need to check that B'dika medical cloth by the Aron Ner, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're Meshamish L'Aron Ner. Tashma, second Kasha, Afu Bishamra, Meshamish Mitasa L'Aron Ner, Reza Meguna. The Mishnah itself, though, says that even though we say Meshamish Mitasa L'Aron Ner, Reza Meguna, still you should be Meshamish L'Aron Ner. It doesn't sound like you're being Bodek L'Aron Ner, it sounds like you're being Meshamish L'Aron Ner. Ema Habodek Mitasa L'Aron Ner, Reza Meguna. Now, Habodek Mitasa L'Aron Ner is also considered to be Meguna, and that's what it's talking about. Tashma, third Kasha, Vishal Beis Munvas Amelcha Yosin Gimel Devarim Maskirin Osan L'Shvach. Munvas Amelch's household did three things that we recall for good. Hayim Meshamshim Mitaseim Bayom, they were Meshamshim Mita Bayom, Ubodkim Mitaseim Bemila Parhava, they would check using bunches of clean cotton, Vinog in Tumma Vitara Bishlagim, they were Noig Dinim of Tumantara on snow. Katani Mia Meshamshim Mitaseim Bayom, and apparently it's a good thing. So how are we saying it's a bad thing? Same a Bodkim Mitaseim Bayom. Now what you need to say is they were only Bodek Bayom, not that they were actually Meshamish Bayom. And he can't say that it means Meshamish Mitasa Bayom, because why would that be a Shvach? At best it would be Parv, right? But to say that it's a Shvach, to be Meshamish Bayom, that would be very strange. So you know, it could have been a Shvach, Dagav Diko and Hashena, Megan Yabape, that they were Dafka Makbid not to be Meshamish when they were too tired. Because it could be that when people are too tired, they end up not being attracted to each other and being resenting each other, that I'm so tired, I need to go to sleep. So they would dafka do during the day when they weren't so tired, when they weren't completely exhausted. Ubodkim mitzayin b'mila parhava, and there would be bodek using this type of cotton. So misayele l'shmul, damer shmul, in bodek nesamital b'poklin o b'tzemer naki v'rach, that you use poklin or tzemer naki v'rach in order to do bedikos. So it should be very clean, white stuff. Amarav, haynetuch yavai yasam arvei shabbas, savamri, man bayi pakuli ben hama. He says, now I get it, because when I was in that town on Erev Shabbos, everyone on Erev Shabbos, they were trading the two big things that were being sold and being traded for each other were bread. That made sense to me, Erev Shabbos, and wool cloth. I didn't understand what's the deal with the cloth. But Friday night is a Lel Ona. It's a time of people on Meshamish Mita. V'yadana Maikamri, I never understood what that was about. So Amar Rav Hani Shachki Dikisna Mali Lebedika. This flax, these worn out flax clothing is very good to do bedikas with. So Eini V'atana Debe Menashe Ein Botkin Asamita Lo Be'ed Edom Lo Be'ed Shachar V'lo Be'pishtan El Ba'pakul No B'tzemer Naki V'rach. It says Beferish you're not supposed to use flax. So Lo Kasha Ha'bekisna Ha'bemani Dikisna. One is raw flax and one is flax clothing. V'ibay say Mahava Ha'bemani Dikisna Ha'bechad Di'abashachki. Or it could be that they're both talking about flax cloth, but one is talking about brand new and one is talking about worn out. We said worn out flax is good. Nogin Tumav Tar B'shlag, and they were also Nogin Tumav Tar on snow. Tanan Asam Shelag Ein Loech V'Lamashka. Shelag doesn't have a din of food or drink. Chishiv Lav La'Achila Ein Matami Tumas Ochlin. If a person had a machshava to eat it, so it's still not Matami Tumas Ochlin. L'Mashka Matami Tumas Mashkin. But if you have a machshava that you want to drink it, it is Matami Tumas Mashkin. Nitma Miktsaso Lo Nitma Kulov. Some of the shelag becomes tamei, not all of it becomes tamei. Nitar Miktsaso Nitar Kulov. But if it all was already tamei, and then some of it became tar. How you mitar shelag? How do you make it tar? So Rashi explains: you put it in a mikvah with hashaka, with zriya. You fill up the kli with snow, and you put the kli into the mikvah until the water surface goes right above the top edges of the kli. Then you take the kli out. So even if those, if the water only touched the top edges, nitar kula, the whole, all of the shalga becomes tar. Hagu for kasha, but wait a second. How did it become that they all became tamei? We just said nitma mksaso lo nitma kulo. Vadatani nitar mksaso nitar kulo. How could that happen? Lememra did nitma kulo. That implies that already it all became tamei. How did it all become tamei? Some rabbi kigon sheviru alavir tanur. You can take the whole thing of shelag and put it by the airspace of an oven. That tori idal kli cheres, afilu melechardal. That melechardal, that a kli cheres, even if it's full of mustard seeds, tiny little mustard seeds, the airspace is mitame. So in Achinami, it's impossible to take every single snowflake and bring it in direct contact with tuma, but the airspace of a kli cheres it could come in contact with. So if you have a kli cheres that's tame and is mitame ba'aviro, you could fill it up with snow, and then all of that snow will become tame. Okay, now we're back to that's a regular nida sugya. So says the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Beis, top Yud Zayin Beis, and the Mishnah gives an anatomy lesson. Unfortunately, we don't understand this anatomy lesson. It seems to be against whatever mitzvahs we know of in anatomy. So says the Mishnah, Mashal Mashal Chacham Bi Isha. The Chacham made a mashal about an Isha. Hacheder Va'Pruzer Va'Aliyah. There are three parts inside of a woman that are critical to be familiar with in terms of Nida. The Cheder, which is the uterus, the Pruzer, which is the vaginal canal, and the Aliyah, which we have no idea what that is. The bladder, the fallopian tubes, we have no idea what that is. It doesn't seem to really match anything the way Chazal are going to describe how this Aliyah works. Dama Cheder Tameh. The Dam of the Cheder itself is Tameh. That's the uterine blood. Of course that's Tameh. Dama Aliyah Tar. The blood from the Aliyah, whatever that is Tahar. Nimtza B'Prozdor, if you find Dam in the vaginal canal, well, Sveiko Tameh. Levisha Chaskasam in a Makar. Since we don't know where it's from, it could be from the uterus, or it could be from the Aliyah, again, whatever that is. So therefore, it's a suffix, but we're going to say Tameh, because the Chazaki is that most Dam comes in a Makar. It's interesting, the Rambam quotes this Mishnah, gives a slight variation, but the Rambam's description doesn't really seem to match either exactly with the Metzius. So that's I think there are a lot of articles written on this to try to figure out. Rabbi Tendler had some sort of pshat to try to explain what this Mishnah was talking about. I don't remember what it was though. At the time, I didn't understand anything. You know, I didn't understand what the Metzius was. So forget about. So anyway, the unclear exactly to me what's going on over here. But let's just take it as a given. Uterine bleeding is tameh. That's obvious. And the blood from the Aliyah, whatever the Aliyah is tar, that would have a din of dam maka. So Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yisrael Breder of Yehuda, Tanu Nida by Rav Huna. Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yisrael Breder of Yehuda, we're learning Nida by Rav Huna, by the yeshiva of Rav Huna. Ashkinu Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the Yasvi Vikamri. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna heard them saying over that Achedem Ribifnim, they were describing the anatomy. They were saying the Cheder is Bifnim, Va'Pruzer Ribachutz, Va'Aliyah Benuya Al Shtehen. The Pruzer is more to the outside, and the Aliyah is built on top of both of them. V'lul Pasuach Ben Aliyah the Pruzer. And there's a little passageway from the Aliyah to the Prozder. That's what ruins us. That's what makes it very impossible to understand what the Prozder is. Passageway straight from the Aliyah to the vaginal canal. Nimtza min alul v'lufnim sveiko tameh. If you find something, some blood from that lul more inside the body, so then it's safek tameh. Min alul v'luchutz sveiko tar. If you find min alul v'luchutz, then that safek we're going to assume is tahar. So asava armle lavua sveiko tameh armat lanmar. So when the son heard the two talmidim talking about this, he went to the father, he went to Rav Huna, and he said, "You taught them sveiko tameh, that it's only safek tameh. V'anan shecheskaso min amakar tanan. The Mishnah says that it's tameh because cheskaso min amakar, which implies that even though it seems like a suffix, it's tameh b'taras vaday. So I'm saying, no, hachi kamin. He says, no, this is what I really meant to say. Min alul v'lufnim vaday tameh. If the blood is found min alul v'lufnim, it's vaday tameh. Min alul v'luchut sveiko tameh. Amar Abayi, Maishna min aluv v'luchutz to sveiko tameh, to dil m'shachso m'chedrasa. Why is it that min aluv v'luchutz to sveiko tameh? After all, if it's min aluv v'luchutz, isn't it unlikely that it came from the uterus? So how is it sveiko tameh? Because maybe she bent over and it came from the uterus and somehow uterine blood went in the wrong direction and managed to find itself min aluv v'luchutz. M'chedrasa. Min aluv v'lufnim, not me. But min aluv v'lufnim, we could also say, Eimer is dakra, ume aliyah. Is that necessarily a raya that it comes from the uterus? Maybe she bent over backwards and it came from the aliyah and the blood changed the direction of the blood. If you're going to say that everything is just a chashash, that maybe she did this, maybe she did that, and you're worried, so then both cases are a case of safek. But if you're going to go with chazaka, so the chazaka is that minalul v'lefnim is considered to be vaday tameh, but the blood found minalul v'lechutz is vaday tar. All the achronim ask a kasha, wait a second, we're going going to say later on, a woman is only tamei if she has a hargasha, that she feels a psichas pia makar. So what's the Mishnah talking about? If she felt the dam come from the makar, so it's pasha that she's tamei, because she had a hargasha, so obviously this blood came from where she had the hargasha, and there would be no chiddush in our Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah have to say, cheskasa tamei, cheskasa that it's bam in a makar? And if she didn't have a hargasha, so isn't that a raya that it didn't come in a makar? She wouldn't, or even if it did come in a makar, she's not tamei, because she didn't have a hargasha. You need a hargasha in order to be tamei. So says in the Debuda, there's a famous shuvah in the Debuda, Madura Kama Simenun Hei. From this kasha, he says, you see that hargasha doesn't only mean feeling the opening of the uterus. Hargasha could mean even zivas davar lach. That's also called hargasha. Feeling moisture flowing inside of her body is also called hargasha, and that would happen whether it's min alul v'lufnim, min alul v'luchutz, whether it's min amakar, whether it's min aliyah, doesn't matter. She would still feel the zivas davar lach in the prosdar, and therefore that's enough to make it hargasha. The place, however, just says the Mishnah song about where she finds dam on a bedika cloth, where you don't need a hargasha, because we assume that the bedika itself masked the hargasha. But that's the raya, the Nodibuda, from this Mishnah. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tani Rabbi Chia.